as status, and treating status as a material. So like the rawness of the canvas is important to me, or the surface of this crumpled image, and thinking about things in terms of being found or being bound up or stolen or naked, or these just different sorts of states. And that's sort of what I've been thinking about primarily, and yeah.
I was very impressed with that large work in the studio, and I'm very happily surprised with that large work too. I think that they're really fantastic, both of them. I mean, and I wish I would just look at those two only, because you know I have always had problems with the smaller works. But I think that these, you know, in these larger works you're doing so many other things, and I think you're putting yourself forward in a really interesting way, and they're very disturbing in so many ways. So, I think that to me they're very promising in that sense. And, I like everything that is unstable there, as opposed to the things that were more stable there. And I also have to say that the book, with all the sculptures, to me is much more eloquent than seeing the examples isolated. So you've always, when you show these examples of the sculptures, you've always chosen to show one or two. I think that it's interesting what happens when you see a large number.
I was thinking that they kind of work better as image, and I think of a lot of my work in terms of image, and I kind of found that as much as I like putting them together, I'm really thinking of them in terms of
images.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with Carlos. I like these two big ones a lot. I think it's a real step forward too in terms of your work. I really like this one. I think this is like the best of the two anyways. And the reason why is because I think it's kind of unreadable, but it looks like you need to keep standing in front of it in order to read it, even though it's unreadable. And it's kind of an odd paradox, and I find that kind of transfixing. There's a lot of interesting things happening in it, and it makes me feel certain things. I have to say. And I'm not entirely sure why, but I trust it. So.
It's revulsive, right, in some ways. And even, I mean, if you can start reading it in relationship to some earlier works, you don't want to, you know, stabilize it. It's interesting in its sort of revulsive way.
I'm going to talk more specifically about that painting because it feels like that, you know, you talk in a kind of general way about material, but especially in light of the piece we saw at the very beginning, the idea of knowing what information is about and how to penetrate past a kind of a parenting of an image or a kind of understanding what an image might mean in a situation. The incident, the specific incident is based on the decision to rotate, is all about you doing something very specific and kind of incredible, which is to sort of try to question our kind of major interpretation of an iconic image of expression, and to try to force the viewer to question even their most cherished kind of liberal assumptions about lying themselves on the side of justice or the press, which you're trying to question. I'm still not sure whether the sort of the choices you made do that for me, but I just want to talk about it a little bit more and see whether it doesn't look like you've done too many things since we talked about it, and that you're sort of satisfied with the kind of ambiguity.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's important to me. The idea that status in terms of guilt and innocence, and how we feel like we sort of understand that in a straightforward way, and like this idea of like this aggressive act and how it's transparently transgressive. But then I wanted to I've been experimenting with language, and I was wanting to borrow from a broad set of vocabulary, and so the sweat drop, the cold sweat, is like anime language that's meant to demonstrate some sort of ambivalence or questioning, and I wanted to superimpose that onto the image of the aggression in a way that should, like, it, maybe not convincingly so, but cause the viewer to question, like, the evenness of this or the certainty of it.
I'm really intrigued by your chromatic key. You know, there's a lot of teal and cimarron. You know, mm-hmm. They're slightly off-putting colors in a funny way, but they're not off-putting enough to be like, you know, day glow orange,
right,
or something like that. And they're slightly, they call up the past somehow, because they have a patina of bronze, perhaps, or something. I'm not sure, right? So there's, you have some kind of, you're articulating some kind of theory you have in terms of color, which I find really interesting.
Well, I love color, and I've been, I guess, sort of like calibrating the work the whole time I've been here, and like trying to figure out like the best deployments of the things that I do enjoy to make a successful work. And so color is one of those things that I've been trying to be a bit more selective about.
And mold, you use mold,
mm-hmm.
mold, cimarron, and teal.
Can you maybe talk about the shift in like the two paintings in the corner here, you know, the action is very specific and overt.
Yes.
Right? Like we are sort of like a Leon Golub, mm-hmm. witnessing this scene. And then the shift from that to this painting, where there is a feeling of some kind of obscured action, some kind of violence or something unsettling, but we don't read a specific incident in that way. And I find myself, I mean, I think I had told you, like, I really loved that white figure, and I felt like I had too much information with the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious about, like, just what you're thinking when it comes, because these are very precise, like, I want the viewer to think this, and then the shifting it this way, and it's like very, mm-hmm. like, laid out,
yes.
in terms of the subject matter and your desire for a particular response from us, maybe. And then this, so it, was this an experiment, or was this a decision like, I think I want to move more that direction, or what? Where are you at with that one?
It's definitely a new move, and I think that what was problematic for me about painting this image in the first place, all three of these images, is I'm a pacifist, and I don't even like to look at violence, and but I felt it was necessary to make these as images, but then when I made them, I wasn't sure if they should be private or public. And so once it was done, I felt able to move to a more subtle kind of a conversation. So this piece is more recent, it's new, and it's probably a little whetstone. And it's trying to, like you said, talk about some of the similar things without necessarily being quite so explicit in content. But I brought this other book because these are all informed by collage. And the way that things are put together in this one is a little bit more heavy-handed. In all three of these, actually, whereas with this one, it's, I don't know, it's a little bit more tweaked.
Is it finished?
It's finished.
I don't know if you, it might come across pretty strange, but the word that comes to my mind when I look at these images is the word terror.
Terror.
Terror. But before, you know, 20th century, before, mm-hmm. you know, the early definition of terror is very different than this, you know, how we perceive it today. And think of like this abrupt, you know, demonstration of violence. You don't know the source, it comes, and you know, it just, you know, does what it does and then disappears. You cannot tie it to an individual or, you know, a group or a collective. It can happen anytime. And as you move from, you know, these aggressive scenes, and, you know, there's very great painters of terror,
yes.
as well, you know, in the history. And
if you move from the images of the terror that, you know, you depict who is doing to whom, you know, there's, you know, when we become clear, when it becomes a speech act, when you see the dialogue, mm-hmm. the terror has been spoken to the other, there's a receiver or a sender of the terror. It's very different than this phase where this gets ambiguous, but the terror, you see a different embodiment of terror, maybe the moment after the terror, mm-hmm. which really, it's not easy to distinguish the receiver and the sender and that whole complicated relationship. Mm-hmm. That is more in the, there's more, I don't want to use the word authentic, but there's something more sincere about that mm-hmm. moment of terror mm-hmm. in there. But also, terror is a very problematic thing, you know.
Well, it's a good point about authenticity, because these are explicitly about the sort of performance of the violence. Mm-hmm. And that came up in a conversation I had with Matt about performance and violence in the conversation, whereas this is more about, I had a conversation with Brinson about how some certain images absorb the gaze, and in terms of my own work, and not very many of them are confrontational in terms of eye contact specifically. And so this one I felt was more about the looking and what that implies and sort of taunt. And I was thinking of it in relation, in its secondary relation to this. And in Terror, I think, is an interesting read. I wasn't thinking of this one in terms of terror, though.
But it does pick up on something that I thought was interesting. You weren't very happy with the way Gala would like present.
Right.
A mercenary as a kind of a violent people. But you were, Martin's take is kind of interesting, like looking in the kind of temporal space. I was thinking of it more in terms of something really kind of extraordinarily unusual about your own admission or statement of anxiety and uncertainty about authorship of violence, and like whether we can read, whether we can understand an event in its full complexity, and the possibility that the sort of politicized string that we pull out of these incidents in order to sort of pursue ideas about social justice have any obligation to tell the truth, too complicated and somewhat ambiguous. And that's why I keep returning to that image, because it seems to carry a huge amount of weight. You know, it doesn't seem like something that you would make it go on. It seems like a lifetime project. So I don't know about the idea of, you know, you sort of say, well, I just had to obscure that here. You know, maybe it makes it more, maybe it makes a more accessible, contemplative image, but there's something, you know, really dire there. I think it took a lot of courage to make that piece. I'd like to see where else it goes.
I'm curious about the book and the decision to often, I think the logic is usually a zoomed in view of an object and then a zoomed out, and why the take two, and how that might relate to maybe some strategies here, if they do. I don't know that I can make that connection, but.
I think that would be an interesting connection to make. I haven't made it myself. Uh-huh. But that was actually something problematic in the making of the book, was a sort of like, look again, look closer, and the sort of catalog language that brings. And I didn't want to necessarily create a catalog. My intention was to make a Gennard book, you know, but I'm not really skilled at that, you know. So I guess the strategy, like the logic behind it was more about like looking twice and looking more closely.
I think in some cases you undermine a little bit, like the giraffe incident, is that what that is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's hard to recognize it now. I think of all three options, the object, the spread in the book, and the pulled back smaller detail in the book, mm-hmm. the blown up spread is by far to me the most interesting. And I like not being shown more than that. And it feels like a very useful directed kind of crop placement looking. Yeah, that's another good example of the spread that I think. Also, I'm happy to only know that much and have to work with that. I think it's really helpful not to show us too much more.
Well, that functions more like the way this painting does in
it's
relation
a
to
of Kanye West. Oh. This is the same reaction as he has. It's a kind of a joke, but there are a couple ideas behind it, but it's mostly a one-liner. But
it should have been the Kanye West then.
Well, I didn't want to include the West because I didn't want it to be too, like, explicitly, like, ba-dum-bum. But I did want for people to be curious, like, what are you talking about with that? But I was thinking about it in terms of, like, ego and, like, a black male, like, back of that show, and vis-a-vis, like, mirror stage and, like, recognition of self. And, like, sort of bringing those two things together in a way that's kind of, like, slightly comical.
No, because I saw it and I thought it was the duration of lacuna, you know? Because lacuna.
Yeah.
No, it's not even the same, but it's just called up that. Yeah. There's a gap, right? So, yes.
Can you talk about how you're going to proceed with choices of subject matter and the degree of... Because I had mentioned to Nina that when she was talking about which images she liked better, I thought that those images function the way this does in relation to these, the specificity. But I was thinking about, like, when you said, oh, but I'm a pacifist, as if somehow that were important as part of the equation in your relationship to the choice of images.
Yeah.
And then, so I guess I'm wondering about then how you... Like, are you taking a position about this? Are you trying to make pacifist overtures to us or convince us or something? Or do you want us... Because, like, I guess I'm not sure about what relationship you have to the violent images and what your seduction is with them and what the obscuring or not obscuring will do and how you want them to then... You know, like when Orkin was talking about terror with this one, and I was thinking about the way in which in cinema you have certain, you have like shark music and zombie music, and before you ever see the thing, you know you're in trouble.
Right.
Right. And I was wondering about like is like what about that as a space for the paintings to sit as opposed to like showing us the monster or showing us the violence, especially since they're from media images that may be familiar, but I think that's important as you proceed in terms of how I don't know how you present it to us.
I agree, and that's a question, and I also am really supportive of what you've done. But I'm sorry. I mean, thinking of like Gallup was really clear. But I think the mercenaries for him, the clarity of it was that they were all supported by American politics. That there was a, and then the way in which he made the paintings themselves, there was a sort of violent relationship to the canvas, you know, a scraping down, a rubbing, so that there was almost like a like an implication in the process itself of something that was going on in the images. So. And I feel I definitely agree that this is something that stands in itself. But I wonder if at a certain point there's some kind of stand in relation to some kind of clearer kind of politics that pacifism is not quite enough like in relation to this material. Because some of these really call for a certain position. Mm-hmm. So I just would be interested in how that's going to develop. I think it's important.
But Michael, Golub's mercenaries was also in counterpoint to the excessive painting that was going on at that time, too, in terms of scale, right? It was counterpointed to this painting that had at least had a kind of appearance of a reference to history and politics, right? Neo-expressionism. And so that... Golub's work would be seen as a kind of counterpoint because they were huge paintings as well, and they were so specific that you right. And I'm not so sure that project's the same as here, or if that project was here, then what is? I agree,
but I just wonder, and because he was making a form of history painting as well, and these are like almost on the edge of it, they don't go there, they
right.
don't want to go
right.
there,
right.
But I just wonder about. Whether it's an interesting kind of slippage or ambiguity, or whether it's a certain point, whether he's hedging his bets, which seemed to me the question that Jackie was raising.
I feel that you were working with five images borrowed from fashion and so forth, and then you painted that. I mean, you painted that image and then the big one, right? So you move into a much more menacing or threatening character. And then you paint this. And in this, I think that you still, you could read it as, I could read it like somebody's cutting hair, you know, like the scissors and so forth. But it's something else, you know, the scissors then become much more threatening and the image is more disturbing. But I think that in a way, in this image, he went back to the material of the fashions, but in a much more kind of like, you know, weird way. So I'm not sure he's going to stay. I'm not sure that violence is stationed. I think that, in itself, I think it was a way to go back to the original material and finding a different angle that makes it more disturbing.
That's correct.
Yeah, I was thinking, the violence is there, but I'm really interested in, super interested in using the book and that being photographs of real objects. And I was thinking about how that's functioning, and I was thinking how those objects are real compared to these being a representation, but I'm trying to understand how you're using them in different ways. Like, I was looking at the one of, like, Obama button in the dime bag. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that is almost more frightening or more depressing, or that hits me harder almost than that in a way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So there's something interesting about how you're using those images. I'm thinking, what if there was some of the paintings mm-hmm. alongside them? I'm just wondering how it would complicate the real that we recognize, that this is
right.
a real thing in the world, with an interpretation. I'm just wondering if they were alongside each other, how that would change my impression of reading these. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being very articulate, but
I
almost, at times they could be doing the opposite thing if they're in that same space.
Maybe the use of the idea of pacifism was too specific for you, as an opposition to kind of advocacy position. What you're really trying to do is find a point that's out, that's somehow apart. And there's, the more I think about it, the more despairing it's becoming. And I think about sort of a post Iraq, post Afghanistan, post Arab Spring, post Ukrainian revolution world where, we're all too aware of the fact that sort of after the opposition, the next day, there's a new power, there's a new authority, there's a new oppression, and we can't get out of that cycle.
Right.
And that's an incredibly strong and difficult position to take because you can't allow yourself on anybody.
Well, could I say one thing? The thing about the pacifism that's not what these works embody.
No, right.
That's like my relationship to the image and how that's why I haven't stayed on it because it's difficult for me. But what you're speaking about is about this participation. And I think of all of the work having this ambiguity based on this idea that we're all participants as opposed to like heroes and monsters or like good guys and bad guys. But we're all participants. And and I think that's sort of what's supposed to be contained in the work is one's level of like involvement as opposed to sort of like, and that's I guess what was interesting to me about the performance of it, because then you're like distinctly audience. But when this is like from an actual thing, whereas the rest of these are from fashion and they're like secondhand images, but this is like news footage. So like, I think it was an important like pivotal moment in terms of the trajectory of the work. I don't think like Carl said, it's not necessarily like a station,
But I keep thinking about your relationship to violence, control, and power, in terms of you choosing these images to paint, but then your strangulation in the real of you strangling a giraffe. You're wrapping this, and you're deliberately putting Obama inside a dime bag, and the complication of what that means. I feel like there's something about there that equally weighty, or you would imagine what does it mean about a person to paint this? But what does it mean to actually do those actions and then document them? It's really complicated.
Or the cotton candy bomb.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
that's
like,
where I'm
damn
like,
it,
oh,
like,
he's,
damn.
We, yes, as you point out, we've all got all these things, but you show that
yeah.
much more in the photograph
mm-hmm.
object combinations than here.
Okay.